We get different kinds of love when we get older in God. But I love the cuddle days with God. He knew I didn't know a whole lot, but he loved on me a whole lot. Come on now. Right? When the kids get older, you know, I don't cuddle my kids now like I used to. But I tell them I love them differently. Doesn't mean I don't love them any less. Because they get a whole lot more now than they used to. They understand things probably better than I do. You see? Is this okay, guys? Am I, you know... You know, I want you to see something. I am not taken away from the power of confessing the word of God. What I'm saying is that you have to have the knee bow with it. You got to have that. And some people are trying to get away with no lordship. No lordship. You cannot have the keys to the kingdom without humility. And humility means obedience. Obedience. So you do the dirty jobs. Come on. How many of you like watching Dirty Jobs? I like that show. I like Dirty Jobs. I like stuff like that. I've had to clear out gunk, mook, you name it. I've had to do really nasty stuff. And I don't care. I had to do it. It had to be done. It would have to bless people. I knew we couldn't, you know. And we have to be willing to do whatever it is that Jesus wants us to do. If he says, get on a plane and go 24 hours to minister to somebody, if he says, do it, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it because he said so. If he says, get in your car and go minister to somebody or go talk to somebody or go share with somebody, whatever it is, it's an expression of love that's outside of yourself. Those are the hard ones. Come on. And you got to do it as yourself. So that means that their love is for yourself. He's not saying be ridiculous about yourself. He's not saying treat yourself bad. He's not saying let people treat you bad. He's saying love others as yourselves. Treat them on the same level as you. Do not be arrogant or rude over them. And don't, you know, be equal with them. Let them be your brothers and sisters. Let there be a sense of family, even though they don't know it yet. There are some people out there right now that don't know their family, and we need to treat them like family. When it's hard to treat them like, well, treat them like God's family. I mean, sometimes in your own family, you don't treat people very well. We need to learn, you know, treat them like God's family. Hey. Without keys, nothing works. Without keys, nothing works. I will never forget when I first came back on staff, Barry Hussey had a circle of keys. There must have been 100 keys on that circle. I could not believe the amount of keys. Why? Because Barry made sure everything worked. And you have to have keys. You lose a key to something, and it's the only key you got, it won't work. Authority accesses the keys. God gives you keys to make things work. That's authority. Authority is not being the boss and being bossy. Authority is making things get done. That's authority. You get it done. That's truly godly authority. And humility and servanthood will get you those keys to get things done if you have a heart to serve people. Like we had this, you know, people call us out of the blue for needs, right? And so this guy loses his everything to a trailer fire, right? His sister calls. I've called everybody. I haven't heard from, you know, nobody. I can't get, you know, it's so funny because churches, you call churches and you don't get anybody to answer. You never get calls back. It's really sad. It really is sad that churches are some of the hardest places to get a hold of the pastor. I know. Jan, am I lying, Jan? No.
very hard.
And she's called hundreds. And I would say, what percentage you actually get through?
2, maybe.
Does that tell you about the level of church in this area, what God wants to do? So she's going to me, Pastor John, I'm just so glad that you answered the phone. That you want, and that you want to help. So y'all collected food and she came and got it. See? That's the heart of service. That just put keys in your hands to unlock something, make things work in somebody's life. There's a lot of people that lost the keys to their life and nothing works anymore. Come on now. Come on. Come on. And when you get in that servanthood heart and spirit and obedience, just God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do it. I'll just do it. Whatever it is, God. Then you begin to see things work in people's lives and they actually start to see life. Some doors get open. You know, our scripture verse is Isaiah 22:22. I've given you the keys of David, and whatever door you open, you know, no man can shut, and whatever door is shut, no man can open. That's the promise to the church in Philadelphia in Revelation 3. That's our inheritance verse. I believe it for this church is that we have the authority to open up doors that no man can shut. God will open doors for us that nobody's going to stop. It doesn't matter what people try to do to us. It doesn't matter what the enemy may try to do to us. When God opens a door or he shuts a door, the devil can't do anything. And we're going to do exactly what God wants us to do. We're going to accomplish everything that God wants us. And you are going to accomplish, no matter what happens, if you have that heart of faith and that heart of obedience, that heart of humility, you're going to accomplish great things for God better than you ever thought you could. Better, more than you can ask or think according to his riches and glory. God has authority for you, but the authority is through obedient humility. And as you do that, he puts the keys in your hand, you bow the knee, and you confess Jesus as Lord, and there releases glory. So now we're going to go to our next point in verse 9. It's what we do if, what Jesus did, and now what God the Father does for us. Notice who put Jesus on the throne. God the Father. Who puts you in a position of authority? God the Father, you don't take the throne. You are given the throne. You are placed on the throne. God will put you in places. You'll walk into a room and you'll have this kingdom authority that you got from God and not from man. And you find out you're directing what's going on to make things happen. And people look at you like, yeah, you're the man. And it may not even be who's in the charge, supposedly in charge in that situation. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know that God, when God puts you in a position of authority, God put Joseph in the prison cell. Come on, someone say amen to that. And God put him in authority, even though he's in the prison cell, and he brought blessing to that place. And then he put him in charge of the largest nation, Egypt, and God put him there. He didn't take that throne. He got put on that throne, and he actually ran that place because he submitted himself and was obedient and went down into the pit, and God brought him out of it because of his heart to obey. And if God gives you a dream and you humble yourself and you obey God, it looks like your dream is going down the toilet. But God says, I know how to put you on the throne if you have a heart of obedience.
Amen.
You got to have that heart to do whatever God says do. Now, it wasn't Joseph's choice to go to Egypt. And there are some times when you feel like you're in the will of God and you're like, God, how did this happen to me? I didn't choose this kind of life. And God says, that's okay. Watch me work it out. I'm going to make it work for good because you love me. All right. So you don't call the shots. When you get in the Holy Ghost bus, you don't tell the driver where you're going. If I went to New York and got in that bus and started telling that bus driver where I was going, you know what they tell me? In a New York minute, buddy, you just get off this bus. But we have this attitude. We've been taught it by our godless culture to not have an obedient, godly heart. And we see it in the way we're being modeled, and that's why our kids are such a mess. That's why our families are such a mess. Because they're always trying to tell the bus driver where to go. Sorry, Yvonne, I'm just preaching this girl's message. She's just true. Just get off the bus. But if you're getting on this bus, I'm the boss. Shut up and sit down. I'm sorry. See, maybe you do that and drive buses, Angel. I know you'd be a good bus driver. Right, Yvonne? She just told me, you just give the... Where, as my friend Penny used to say, where the rabbit, she'd tell him where the rabbit got the cabbage. Right? Just tell it like it is. Where the rabbit ate the cabbage. Right there. That's what happened. All right, now. So God the Father will give you glory because of what Jesus did. And not because of what you did. God will bring you glory because of what Jesus did, but by humbling yourself, you step into Jesus and you receive his glory because you are in Christ. See how different that is? It's not you don't get glory because you done good. Come on now. You get glory because you humbled yourself and stepped into Jesus and you receive of his reward. Our reward is his reward. We don't have a reward separate from Jesus. Sorry, it doesn't work. Anything we do for good in the kingdom of God merely joins us to what Jesus has already done. So you can't even be proud about good works. Just like that book I've got, Steve. I'm so proud of that book. I wrote a book on humility. It's the best book on humility that anybody's ever written. Just think about that for a second. Nobody's ever written a better book on humility than that, than my book. And I wrote it myself. No one helped me. Okay. Right, Steve? Steve's a librarian. You put that in your library, wouldn't you? Okay. Now, I want you to look at this verse. I'm just breaking this scripture down. I want you to see this scripture from new eyes that God gave me. He said, look at this scripture. I'll never see it the same. Go back, go to the next verse, and we're going to finish up. Look at this. I asked the Lord about this. He says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Notice, glory comes, lordship comes. The first thing to go is the knee. Remember, knee first, mouth second. Got it? Don't you dare confess until you get that knee down. Repent, right? What comes before faith, guys? Repentance. Right? First principles, the first thing is repentance. You repent before you believe. If you try to believe without repenting, you'll miss it because you won't have the mind of God. Right? Yes. You need the mind of God. So you get these do-good Christians trying to have faith without the mind of God, and they're doing stupid stuff. They're not really doing the Word. If you get the Word in you, it breaks you. You bend the knee, and then you get the mind of God. When you get the mind of God, you have the words of God. Faith comes by what? Hearing. You hear when you bend your knee. When you bend your knee to the Word of God and the Word of God enters your heart and you receive the Word without telling God what it means. Well, I really didn't mean go across the road and take care of that man. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Your Word didn't really say cross the road. It said stay and worship God and be holy. Right? Isn't that the story? Am I being faithful to the Scripture? Well, you're just making the Word mean what you want it to mean. But if you bend the Word and really hear the God, what the God's saying, and then you receive the Word with a humble heart, then God gives you repentance and then faith comes. And then you hear that word and then you say, Jesus is Lord. I'm going to do this. Oh, Jesus, you're Lord here. Lord, I don't know if I can do this, but Jesus is Lord. I mean, that's really what you're saying when you're doing even the hard things. Lord, I really wasn't planning on this. And I know you want me to do this. So Jesus is Lord. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And how about this? How about your body is in pain and you want to do take something for that pain that maybe God doesn't want you to take because it's addictive?
Amen.
Will you make Jesus Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to obey you and I'm not going to. Come on now. You may have to say no to something. And faith, believe God for healing. And rather than, you know, because not, I'm not trying to put anybody down or anything like that. But sometimes you don't want to take a pill if it's bad for you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying don't do what your, I mean, do what your doctor says, but be, obey the Lord. Because sometimes relatives will say, hey, I got extra pain pill. Take this. Come on, that doesn't happen. Tell me that doesn't happen. We'll just have you confess of being a liar because we know it happens all the time. It happens all the time. And that's why people get, they never get out of it because they're always looking to man and not looking to God. And you need to repent and you need to stop it. And you need to really let the word of God and trust God for your health and your healing and your well-being and your mood and your emotions and your finances and everything in your life. You got to trust God with it. That means that sometimes you may go through a difficult time waiting for God to respond to your need. Thank you. Amen. How many know that God is never late? He's a just-in-time God, but sometimes he comes when we think it's late. He may not come when we want him, but he'll come when we need him. And we need to learn that as his children. We need to trust him in his timing because sometimes I feel like, oh my goodness, how am I going to make it here? And I'm like, you know, I'm hurting, and God says, I want you here now. He says, I'm not coming until you need me. Really, you know, until, you know, he's not going to waste his time. You know what I'm saying? He wants us to grow in faith. He wants us to trust him and make sometimes those difficult confessions. Hey. Okay. All right. I'm going off on a bunch of stuff. Glory brings authority, a greater authority. It includes all three realms of creation. Look at these three realms. Heaven, earth, and under the earth. So we could say, Tolkien people, heaven, middle earth, earth. Right? Now, what's heaven? Eternal life. What's under the earth? Eternal death. What's the middle? Where you make the choice, which way are you going? That's why Paul brings all three things there. Jesus is every knee bows. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you're in eternal judgment like those angels are in Gehenna, where they are right now, they're under the earth. They're getting judged. Jesus, after his resurrection, went down to the under the earth department and every knee bowed. And it says he had the keys to hell and death. His name was confessed. Every knee bowed under the earth, every knee bowed on the earth, and every knee bowed in heaven. And the thing is, right now, earth is the place where we make the choice. Where are we going to bow? I don't want to bow under the earth. No, I don't want to do it there. I want to have my bowing on earth so that I can do it in heaven. We need to, this is where the choice is being made every day in our lives. And I want to ask you a question. Whose name are you bowing to? You may say you're a Christian, but you may be bowing your knee to another name. Entertainment. Drugs. being smart and educated. You know what I mean? Highbrow intellectualism. You can tell that idol up there, boy. How about like riches, fame? Do you know that I believe the motivation for those shooters, of school shooters, their God is fame. They want to be famous. And they sacrifice innocent lives for the sake of their fame. It's wicked, wicked, wicked. Babies are slaughtered for the idol of convenience and sexual immorality. Babies, millions of them. I want to have my life. I don't need to have consequences. So you sacrifice it on that idol. And whether it's, well, how about pleasure and just being, you know, craziness, addictions. I mean, we're studying addictions a little more, and we're seeing there's a lot more addictions in culture than we think. And, you know, you probably know more about than I do, but I'm telling you, my eyes are being opened. There's a lot more addicted people in the church than I realized. Because you may not be a chemical, it may be something else. The question is, what will you sacrifice serving God for to do? Our Lady of the Sheets, you know, sleeping, not getting up, going to church. Or maybe it's watching TV to like 4 in the morning so you're not awake enough to get up the next day. Or maybe it's gossip that you're addicted to because you're on the phone all the time talking about people. I mean, I'm just talking about things that come to my mind. I'm not trying to, you guys know me well enough to know that I'm not trying to, you know, talk about you. I don't do that as a pastor, you know. I don't take what's in the counseling room and put it out there and preach it. That's like the stupidest thing a pastor could ever do. Because people, we all have struggles. We all struggle and we all have our things, you know. And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to change anybody here personally. I just want us all to follow Jesus. Because we all need to be tearing down idols. We all need to be, we should not bow the knee to anything other than Jesus. And we tend to bow the knee sometimes. I'll tell you, the biggest challenge for me has been monitoring my time on the web and making sure that I don't spend too much time surfing the web. I guarantee that's my struggle. Okay? It may not be your struggle. You know, I'm not letting food be my idol either. I'm trying to not let, you know, I'm trying to walk in lordship over food. Look, Kenny, man, he's like winning the victory, man. He's getting in shape. But this is good. God doesn't want us slaves to our appetite. He doesn't want us unhealthy. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. You hear me on this, okay? But he wants us to be free. He cares about us like a loving father. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be fit. He wants us, our minds to be. He doesn't want us to be racing around doing things all the time. I'm a very active person. So, you know, for me, I have to learn how to say no to doing stuff. Okay, now other people, I'm not naming any names, but they have to learn how to say yes to doing stuff. Okay? And you both are Lord. You have to let Jesus be Lord by saying no to activity. Amen. I'm not saying you're that way, but, you know, amen. You have to say no to some things, and then you have to learn to say yes to some things that you normally don't want to do because you feel like it's okay to sit in the bed or sit in the chair and just chill. Okay? You got to learn when to get up and when to be led by the Spirit to let the Simon anointing or the Simon Says anointing come over you. And when you get in a worship service, you're not, you know, I had a rough morning. I had a rough day. I'm just going to sit here and be spiritual. No, get up there and praise the Lord. If it's uncomfortable, good. Let me say that again. If it's uncomfortable, good. If it's hard to praise God, that's a good thing. You know why? Because you're laying your will on the altar to the Lord. You're bending the knee at that time. Sometimes the praise that's hard to do is the best praise you could ever offer. It's called the sacrifice of praise. Not all praise is the sacrifice of praise. You know, if God heals somebody, we're all going to praise God, right? If we see a miracle, that's easy. We're going to be praising God for that miracle. But what if we pray and it doesn't happen right away? Are we going to praise God for it?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. We're going to praise Him more. Praise Him more when you don't feel like it. Praise Him more when you don't see things happen right away. Praise Him even more radical when things don't, when you don't feel good or you, things are not going good or someone's being really horrible to you. Praise Him even more.
Amen.
And watch God do miracles in your life. Watch God break through and give you keys to open doors that no man can shut. He'll bring you to places, give you authority. When you say things, they're going to happen. They're going to happen. Things are going to work that stopped working for people's life. And you're going to be confessing the name of Jesus instead of confessing the name of other people that are giving you a hard time. And you're going to stop confessing the names of people that you're complaining about, confessing the names of people that are giving you grief, confessing the problems that you have. You know, there are some people that feel obligated that when they want to tell you about their problem, they want to tell you every little detail about their problem because they're really actually confessing more of their problem than confessing Jesus. I'm telling you the truth. Come on, guys. We need to have the name of Jesus on there. We need to be honest about our situations, but we need to give God the glory when we confess with the words of our mouth and talk more about what God is doing and talk about the Word of God, even when we don't see it in front of us, even when we don't feel the Word of God, we speak the Word of God because God created the heavens and the earth before He saw anything, before anything happened. He spoke it and then it happened.
Amen.
Come on, we got to remember that. We speak and then we see it happen. And we can't always let our praise, our faith be something in what we see. And then what Father are you glorifying and embracing? God wants to hug you. He wants to embrace you. He wants to bless you. But our Father is the God of love. He is not the cruel taskmaster. He is not the one that tries to make you measure up to something you'll never make. So you're constantly doing religious works to try to measure up to God. Get out of that rat race. You'll never make it. You'll never be good enough. There's nothing you could ever do to make you more loved by God. There's nothing you can ever do to earn your salvation. There's nothing you can ever do to make yourself holy. You know what the Bible says? It says, be holy. Be means you're being it. You're not doing it. He didn't say do holy as your Father in heaven is holy. He said be holy. What are you being? You got to be it. You got to just receive it. You got to live it. You got to walk in it. It's His holy. He says, be holy for I am holy. We are holy only because He is holy. And we step into His holiness. We don't work our way to His holiness. So important because we live in a very religious climate here. Lots of churches, lots and lots of churches. I'm telling you a lot of stuff, guys, okay? I don't want to overdo it. But are you willing to just make that commitment to bow the knee to Jesus and confess Him as Lord? Do you have your identity in love? Amen or not? Raise your hand. Is your identity in love? Okay. Is your authority in obedience? Raise your hand. And humility. Amen. That's where my authority comes from. That means you're given authority and not taking authority. Okay. I'm going to do what I want. I don't care what you say, God. God goes, go ahead, do what you want. I'll sit back and laugh a little bit. And after the pain hits really hard, you'll change your mind. Run into that wall about 10 more times. Just, you know. Okay, Lord, I'll just do it now. I'm sorry. I Okay, so humility gives us authority through obedience, right? And then glory comes as those keys are given to us. And then God just starts pouring the glory on. And, you know, you just get this glory coming. And this family, because he's your daddy now. He's not just some God. He's not just some idol. He's your daddy. He's your father, and you're in a family. You belong. You are not on your own. You're not an orphan anymore. That's the last thing, you know, the last thing about the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus brings glory to the Father, not glory to you. Glory to the Father. And then you become family, and you know family. You walk in. I never met hardly anybody in that church this week. But when I walked in, I knew I was with family. I was in family. I said, they're just up there, you know, up there in Bassett area, you know, up there in Sanville, where I used to teach way back when, where I first met Jan. Family. Yeah. Amen. All right. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Kenny, would you come on up here and just pray and bless the people, and we'll be dismissed.
Just bless him. Lord, we thank you for this message and for this opportunity to be better. And Father, we understand that with failure comes opportunity. Amen. Comes opportunity to change the way that we see things. And Father, we just thank you for that opportunity. Lord, we bless the people here as we leave these doors. May this word change our hearts and our minds down to the core of our spirits and our bones. And Father, we give you the glory for this word and for the things that we hear. And Father, we just bless each and every one of us. We bless each other right now in the name of Jesus. To your glory, and your will be done, Father.
Amen.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.